I'm going to preach on this subject, five things you need to know about the devil. Five things you need to know about the devil. Now, ladies, I'm not talking about your husband, okay? Five things you need to know about the devil. This is not a marriage sermon at all. It has nothing to do with that. Revelation chapter number 12. Let's begin reading verse number 1. Please stand with me. Revelation chapter 12. We'll just read the entire chapter, just 17 verses. Boy, this is a fascinating book. I just finished reading in my devotions this week the book of Revelation. And in chapter 12, the Lord stopped me and spoke to my heart about some things. So let me share those things with you this morning. Revelation chapter 12, verse 1, "And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth and pain to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his head. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman which was ready to be delivered for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now has come salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. And when the dragon saw that he was cast unto the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. And to the woman were given 2 wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time from the face of the serpent. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ." Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we ask, Lord, that you'd enlighten us, help us as we're here gathered with each other, Lord, and as we listen to the Bible preached. God, we need to know about our enemy. And from time to time, Lord, we need to hear a message about the devil. And Lord, so that we can be aware, the Bible tells us we should not be ignorant of his devices. And I pray, Lord, this will be a help to us, Lord, as we strive to go forward and live the Christian life. Lord, it's wonderful to have guests. It's always a treat here at Blessed Hope, Lord, when we are allowed to have some visitors. I pray that you would, Lord, help them to feel warmly welcomed, that they would feel your presence. And Lord, it's good just to see the home crowd. It's just good to see the family gathered together. Lord, if there be one in the sound of my voice that has never received Christ as their Savior, I do pray, Lord, sincerely with all my heart, that today would be the day of their salvation. Speak to them, Lord, gently woo them to you. Lord, convict them, bring them to a knowledge of Jesus Christ even today. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen, and you may be seated. Five things you need to know about the devil. Five things that you need to know about the devil. Let me tell you a little bit about where we're at in the scripture so we can lay a little bit of groundwork, and then we'll get into the message itself. In the book of Revelation, and as I mentioned, I have been reading the book of Revelation every morning, and I just simply take five pages of the Bible, and I read them every morning. That's what I do for my morning devotions, and that gets me through the Bible all the way through in 1 year, plus a little extra. I can usually read about the whole Bible and then most of the New Testament again by just doing 5 pages a day, and I'm finishing up the book of Revelation, did this week. Let me tell you a little bit about the book of Revelation, because this chapter is an unusual chapter. Pretty much throughout the book of Revelation, we see time explained in chronological order. There's a very accurate timeline given in the book of Revelation, especially if you go from back chapter number 4, we see the rapture of the church. By the way, we're in the church age now. That's chapter 2 and 3, the church age. Chapter 4, the rapture happens. And chapter 4, on through chapter number 12, where we find ourselves now, we see what's going to happen, first of all, in heaven during the tribulation period, and then the focus becomes on what is happening on earth during the tribulation period. And my dear friend, if you're without Jesus Christ, would you please, please, this week, just read the book of Revelation. You know what? You do not want to be on this earth during the tribulation period. I plead with you. I plead with you as a friend. I plead with you as a preacher of the gospel. You ought to be saved. You need to be saved, because Jesus Christ could come at any moment. And when you begin to read about those 7 trumpets and the 7 vials and all of the wrath of God that's going to be poured, the 7 seals upon this earth during the tribulation period, let me tell you something. If for any other reason in the world, after you read that, you ought to just get saved so that you make sure that you're not here during the tribulation period. Amen. And so we see that is chronicled. Chapter 4, what happens in heaven. Chapter 5, the focus is then on earth. 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. So let's imagine for a minute that this is the rapture, and we're teaching through the book of Revelation. Now we're in the tribulation period. We're talking about what's going on in the tribulation period. And all of a sudden we get to chapter 12, and it's like God stops, and he goes all the way back to eternity past and gives us a history level lesson on the devil, and brings us then all the way back up to this point in the tribulation period. He gives us a 1 chapter 17 verse condensed history on the relationship between 3 individuals: Israel, the devil, and Jesus Christ. Israel, the devil, and Jesus Christ. All of a sudden, we call this chapter parenthetical, because all of a sudden we're going down this timeline and we stop right here and we go all the way back. He said, now let me tell you about something that happened way back before the creation of the world. Let me tell you a little bit about the history of Israel. Let me tell you the animosity between the serpent and Israel and Jesus Christ and his attempts at keeping Christ, trying to keep Jesus Christ from being born. And after he was born, trying to destroy him. And after he died on the cross, was buried and rose again and ascended back to heaven. Since he couldn't stop Christ, you know what? He turned all of his wrath upon the children of Israel and those of us that are born again in the church age. The devil is our enemy. Amen. The devil is our enemy. So we see these 3 main characters in chapter number 12 talked about. We see, first of all, Israel is in verse 1 and 2, and then Satan, and then Jesus Christ comes upon the scene. Now, could we just teach through this chapter? And again, how in the world could I teach through this entire chapter and really give it justice? So let me give you an overview. Verse 1 and 2, we see that there's a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. These are the 12 tribes of Israel. This woman represents the nation of Israel. This is God's chosen people. By the way, it was through the seed of Israel that the Messiah was going to come. All the way back when God called out Abraham, he said to him and gave him the promise that all of the nations of the earth would be blessed through Abraham's seed. And what he was talking about is the Messiah would come. Jesus Christ would come through the Israelite people. And then we see in verse 3 and 4, the devil comes on the scene here. And a great red dragon. And again, I don't have time to teach all that. All of these things are significant. And we see the influence of Satan back in eternity past when he exalted himself. We'll talk a little bit about that in a minute here. Exalted himself and wanted to become like the Most High God, and ended up being kicked out of the presence of God and a curse placed upon him. But he was so effective in his deceitfulness that he influenced 1/3 of the angels of heaven to follow him. We'll give you a little more information about the past of the devil, Satan's past when he was Lucifer in just a minute. Then we see in verses 5 and 6, this man-child that then is delivered from Israel. And of course, this is none other than Jesus Christ. Verse 5, and she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. Now that little verse there contains all of the Gospels. That's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That's Jesus being born. That's him living a perfect life. That's him dying on the cross, being buried, and rose again, and eventually ascending up to sit on the right hand of the Father. All of the Gospels are summarized in verse number 5. And then after we see that that had happened and Jesus ascends up into heaven, we see that Israel then becomes the target of Satan's wrath. And Israel has to start fleeing to the wilderness. And folks, it wasn't long after Christ ascended up to heaven that we see that Israel's a nation, as far as a geographical nation, ceases to exist. They're splintered and scattered across the world. And you know what? Anybody that's a historian will tell you that something is unusual about these people. How in the world can one group of people meet with so much tragedy? How can there be so many attacks against them? How can they be targeted in so many different ways? And they have been a persecuted people throughout the history of the world. You know why? The devil's wanting to get even. The devil hates God's chosen people. Now, I've said this before. Let me just say it again. America better wake up. God has blessed America when we've been willing to stand by Israel and be the friends of God's people. And if we turn our back on Israel, God will turn his back on us. We better wake up a little bit and be careful about worrying about being politically correct. We ought to be Bible correct, scripturally correct, and make sure that we just stand by the people of Almighty God, the chosen people, all right? And so stay with me here. We're going to go through this a little bit, and then I'll give you some things I think will be very practical for you. We see then in verses 7 all the way through 12, let me just summarize this by saying that this talks about the great war in heaven. And you know what? We see that Michael and his angels fight against Satan and his angels, and God empowers them and allows them to prevail. And at this point, Satan and all of his angels are cast out forever out of the presence of God. They have no more access to heaven after this war. Now, I'll tell you that I'm not sure when this war takes place. I've read a lot of different things, and I think that there's varying views. There's folks that think that this war has already happened, and that it happened when Jesus ascended up into heaven and took upon himself the throne of God and came as the conquering hero. There's others that believe it will happen at the beginning of the tribulation period. There's some that think that it will happen at the middle of the tribulation period. I wouldn't argue with anybody over it, but I know this, that it either has happened or it will happen, because it's in the scriptures. And we see this great war, and then after the war takes place, Satan and all of the demons, all of those angels, those fallen angels, are confined to and cast down upon the earth, and they have a presence on the earth at that point. Verse 12, therefore rejoice ye heavens and ye that dwell in them. Why? Because Satan and the demons are cast out, and they're never going to be before God to accuse the brethren again. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil has come down unto you having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. And then we see Satan, verses 13, then down to 17, Satan's persecution of Israel continues, and God divinely protects Israel. This is mostly during, at this point, 13 through 17, during the tribulation period. Now, folks, I know we didn't do a very good job of really breaking everything down, but that's an overview of chapter number 12. Now, the main emphasis that I want to bring out of this chapter for us today is this. As we're reading about all of this history of Satan and his interaction with the Israelites, his hatred for Jesus Christ, all of his attempts to stop Christ from coming and providing salvation for us, we can learn some things about the devil that we need to learn. So let me focus in on that this morning and give you five things that you need to know about the devil. Now, these are easy things. They're simple things. They're basic things. This is not an exhaustive study of Satan. If we were to do that, listen, that's a major doctrine of the Bible. That could take us a lot of time. But in this chapter, we see some specific things that I think every Christian, I'm talking about new converts in here, you need to learn these five things about the devil. I'm talking about children in here and teenagers in here. You need to understand these five things about the devil. I'm talking even to us veteran Christians, that we get to the point where maybe we will begin to let our guard down a little and underestimate our enemy. Let's be reminded of the devil and who he is. Five things you need to know about the devil. Number one, he is real. He is real. Now I want you to mark your place there in the scriptures, and let's go back to Isaiah chapter number 14. Mark your place there in the book of Revelation, because we'll be returning there in just a short time. But please join me and turn to Isaiah chapter number 14. Let's educate ourselves a little bit, remind ourselves a little bit about the history of the devil. Brother Jerry, is the devil just some creation of man? Is he some mythical creature that the Greeks made up, or some other group made up? I mean, isn't he just like the boogeyman? You know, we talk about him to scare our children, but he's not really real. No. The devil is real. He is real. Isaiah chapter number 14, if you will, and verse number 12. Let me talk to you a little bit about the history of an archangel by the name of Lucifer. Now, verse number 12 in Isaiah chapter 14, it says, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend unto heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, Is this the man that made the earth to tremble and did shake kingdoms, that made the world as a wilderness and destroyed the cities thereof, that opened not the house of his prisoners?" Now look up here and listen to me. Let me tell you a little bit about the devil. When God created the angels of heaven, he created great numbers of angels. Nowhere in the Bible is it pinned down how many angels there are, but there are multitudes upon multitudes. It even says in one place that they are as the sand of the sea for number. Now you go count that. Go count the sand in the sea. So God created this great, these creatures that were intended to serve him and honor him and love him and follow him. And above all of these angels, he exalted and put into a position of prominence three archangels. One is Michael, one is Gabriel, and the other one was an angel by the name of Lucifer. And by the way, young people, I wish we had time to study all of this. Well, one of the Lucifer's job in heaven was that he was over the music in heaven. And he was the one that was gifted in this matter of music. Also, of all three of the archangels, he was the most beautiful of the three angels. But the problem with all that is this: it all went to his head. And at some point, instead of serving God and realizing that his place in life was to serve God, he decided he wanted to be like God. He got tired of playing second fiddle to his creator. Well, it sounds like a lot of Americans today. You know, and people that won't understand who God is and respect him for who he is and humble themselves before him and realize we've been created to serve God, not be gods. But that's what happened to Lucifer, and this angel got eye problems. Yeah, he got eye problems. Not this kind of eye. I'm talking about the pride kind of eye. And next thing you know, he's talking in verse 13 and 14 about, I will do this and I will do that, and I'm going to be this and I'm going to be that. And you know what? God had enough of that, and he put him in his place. Now listen to me. Don't forget this. Lucifer was so deceitful. And listen, he had a lot of sway. And he talked one-third of this incredible group of angels, whatever the number, this great multitude of angels, one-third of them followed him in his rebellion against God. One-third of them followed him and became the spirits that are used by Satan that to this day influence us. Now, children, I'm not here to scare you, but I'm going to tell you, the Bible talks about that when talking about God creating the world, he said he created the visible and the invisible. And you know what? What you see is the visible. But let me share this with you, folks. Just as real as what we can see, there is a creation of what we cannot see. It's invisible to our eyes, but it is just as real. I promise you this morning, if for some reason I can't imagine because I've never seen it, and we can only speculate by what we know in the Bible. But if we were allowed for 15 seconds to have our eyes open so we could not only see the visible, but the invisible right here in this room, right here active in this room, in this church, it would scare the wits out of us. Brother Jerry, what would we see here? I think we would see some of the angels that are still loyal to Almighty God. We have people all over this church that pray for our Sunday services. I've listened to our men, I've listened to our ladies say these very words: God, send angels to build a hedge about this place so that the devil won't be able to interrupt and affect and influence what's happening here on a Sunday morning. And I think if you had your eyes open, you would see some of God's choicest angels, good, strong angels that are sent down to guard this. I think, I'm just going to tell you, I think they're up here. I got my bodyguards up here with me today, amen. Sunday school teachers had some angels in there helping you in your class. There were some angels riding on these red and white buses, warding off the demons of hell and all the things that God would. Listen, the devil only wants to destroy. The devil only wants to hurt. The devil only wants to maim. What he does is he hates what's going on at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. He hates the preaching of his word. He hates that little children are being brought in here and taught the scripture. He hates that 4 days a week we have our Christian day school. He hates what's going on when our people go into the highways and byways and soul win and pass out. He hates all of that stuff. This is not his favorite place. You know why? Because we want this to be a base camp for Jesus Christ, you know. And so if we could have our vision for a minute, 15 seconds, I think you'd see the angels of Almighty God down here helping us and protecting us and watching over us and guarding this place. I think toddling behind, I believe this is scripture. I think you'd see behind every toddler that's weaving themselves in and out of this place, I think you'd see a guardian angel watching over them. Most of those guardian angels have a lot of gray hair. Amen. Just trying to keep these kids from one minute to the other from doing something that's going to get themselves hurt. It's guardian angels and grandpas have gray hair, you know. We're the warriors, I guess. And so, but you'd see them. But let me say this, folks. You might be encouraged by that sight. But what we would see as far as in the demonic world and the fallen spirits and the satanic influence would drive us to our knees. It helps us to realize that we better be a-praying. Yes, sir. Because if you think for 1 minute that Satan is some weakling, some ineffective weakling with an ineffective army, you're not watching what's going on in this world. Yes, sir. I can't help but wonder, Brother Jonathan, we'd drive up to the State House in Indiana, what we'd see if we could see it. Yep. Wonder if we went over to Congress, what we'd see if we could see it. Wonder if we went to Washington, D.C., whether we find out that whether or not God even has hardly a foothold left in that city. I wonder what you'd see if you went over to Las Vegas. Many of you have had to fly through there or going there for business purposes. You know what I'm talking about. I'm going to tell you something else. I think if we could see what is seen in the invisible, it would scare us to death. Yes, sir. But let me say this. It is real.
Yes, sir. Amen.
The devil's real. The devil is real. Now, don't you ever forget that. He's not a joke. He's not some guy in a red suit and a tail and a pitchfork running around just ineffective and a bumbling idiot. That's what he'd like you to believe, because then you'd be duped into letting your guard down. But the devil, number one, he is real. Let me tell you what else, something else about the devil. He is a deceiver. He is a deceiver. If you will, go back now to Revelation chapter number 12. Find that spot that you marked, and let's look at verse number 9. Not only is he real, he is a deceiver. Chapter number 12, verse 9 says, "And the great dragon was cast out." I like the way this verse reads. "That old serpent called the devil and Satan." Just in case you were wondering whether all these people are the same one, they are. It's called an old serpent. We're going to find out where he got that reputation in just a minute. He's called the devil. He's called Satan, which, notice this, deceiveth the whole world. And he was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Deceiveth the whole world. We go back to Revelation chapter 20 and find out when they throw Satan into the lake of fire, they said the one who deceived the nations. And let me say this, he has a reputation of being a deceiver. Mark your place again. Let's quickly go to Genesis chapter number 3. Genesis chapter number 3. Folks, he started this early in his career here on planet Earth. Genesis chapter number 3, we see one of the first stories in the Bible involves a serpent, that old serpent. Genesis chapter number 3 and verse number 1. I want you to, again, listen as I read this and look for the deceiver, look for his deception, listen to his lies and what he says and does to Eve. Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtile than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. Wow. Do you see that? Notice in verse number 3, he said, yea, hath God said? I'm sorry, let's go look back in verse number 1. Yea, hath God said? Hath God said? You're always trying to get you to question the word of God. Did God really say that? Well, if he did he really mean it that way? Yeah, I'm so tired of these people. You know, let me tell you what's happening. We've got so many translations, mistranslations, I should say, of the Bible that people just now keep it stacked by their recliner. And if they're reading the King James Bible and they come on a verse they don't really want to follow, they can just keep going through all the translations till they find one that's changed it enough where they don't have to worry about it. Hath God really said it? Did God really mean that? Did you study that out? Is that really what that? I'm all for study to show thyself approved unto God. I'm also all for reading comprehension.
Yes, sir.
We've got people that are so intelligent they've become idiots. Bible talks about becoming wise, being wise, they become fools. They become so studied, read so many books, read so many mistranslations, they can explain anything away in the Bible. And really, none of it means what it's supposed to mean. I told a guy here the other day, he was talking to me about part of the Bible. Well, that doesn't apply anymore, and that was for the different dispensation, this, that. And I said, would you do me a favor? He said, what? I said, do the whole Christian realm a favor. I said, why don't you just eliminate all of the Bible that doesn't really apply to us or doesn't really mean what it says, and just give us the part that God's really going to hold us accountable for. I said, it won't be as big and it won't be as heavy, because every time we talk about something, you're determined to try to explain to me why that doesn't apply anymore. My Bible says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. We need to stop spending time trying to explain away the Bible and just decide we're going to obey the Bible. Amen. Hath God said? That's going on in many pulpits across this nation right now. There are men standing behind pulpits reading the Bible and explaining away what God said plainly and deceiving the people into believing that God doesn't mean what he says in this book. That's called a liberal modernistic church. And you know what? Boy, if you're in one of them, you ought to get out so fast. Don't let the door hit you on the way out. Go find an old-fashioned independent fundamental Baptist church where we just open the book and say, you know what? Let's just read what's in the King James Bible and let's believe it. Let's do it. But the devil's a deceiver. He's always trying to come to our young people. Well, you know, I know the Bible says it, but God, did he really mean that? Hath God really meant that? And you know what? After he gets you to doubt, then he just starts telling you flat out lies. And that's what he did. He said, ye shall not surely die. The serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. You know what? Even if God said that, I'm going to tell you right now, it's not going to happen. Boy, you ever have those thoughts come in your mind when you're reading the Bible? You're reading or you're listening to a sermon and something in your mind all of a sudden says, could that really be true? Could that really have happened? Or is that really going to happen? Come on. You better go like this. Start smelling, because if you do, you'll smell brimstone. That's the devil putting those thoughts in your mind. You read this book and whatever it says, you believe it because God said it. And yes, hath God said? Yes, sir, he did. You shall not surely die. You're a liar. If God said it, it's going to come to pass. And by the way, it did come to pass. You see, and we see that Satan's in the deceiving business. And here's this woman, and Satan comes up and he begins to listen. By the way, notice the false accuser in verse 5. Didn't it say that he's the accuser of the brethren? Well, Satan is always accusing, putting false accusations in the minds of people. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. This isn't an accusation against one of the brethren. Satan is so bold to point an accusing finger towards Almighty God. Say, let me tell you the real story, sis. The reason he doesn't want you to eat that fruit is because if you do, God knows that you'll become as smart as he is and as wise as he is, and he's trying to keep that from you. You ever had little thoughts in your mind, something popping in your mind, questioning how good God is or how right God is, or maybe God's just playing dirty tricks on me? Let me tell you something. That doesn't come from heaven. That comes from hell. God loves us, and wherever God's drawn a line, we ought to respect that line. He doesn't do it to make our lives worse. He does it to make our lives better. And if God's put some boundaries in the Bible, it's to save us from a lot of heartache. The devil, he says, you know what? Ignore those boundaries. Just go right over the top of them. God doesn't really mean what he says. And you know what? He's trying to keep you from having fun. I guarantee you that's coming to the minds of some of our teenagers over the summer. Satan's come to you and said, you know what? All these rules in the Bible and all these things that God says, you know what? He's just trying to rob you of having a good time. And if you're not careful, you'll be foolish enough to fall for that. That's what happened to Eve. She believed that. She started hanging around that tree and looking at the food. And you know what? You start hanging around what you've been told to leave alone. You start inspecting it and you start giving the devil a chance to whisper in your ear. Next thing you know, you'll do what she did. Listen, get out of there. Get away from there. You stay far away from what God says not to do. Don't live on the edge. Stay far away. And the devil comes along. Here he is, a deceiver. Now, young people, listen to me. Number one, he's real. Number two, he is a deceiver. You ever been deceived in your life? You ever been deceived in your life? You ever been just flat out tricked? I mean, somebody had you so convinced that something was a certain way, they sold you on it, and when you actually got into it, you found out it was just the opposite. The devil is the master at that. So be careful. The Bible says there's a way that seemeth good unto a man, but the end thereof is the way of death. And don't you look at the beginning. You better take a long walk around and look at the end of something before you head down the path, because the devil's a great deceiver. Back to Revelation chapter 12, amen. This is good. It wears out your Bible. You'll get to get a new one soon, amen. Let's keep using it. Revelation chapter 12, he is real. Number two, he is a deceiver. Number three, let me just say this. He is mad. He is mad. He's mad. Revelation chapter 12, verse 12. Therefore rejoice ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. I'm probably not the only one that's noticed this and probably experienced the blessings of it. I got up on my birthday, August 30th. Took the morning. I was going to come over here at noon and work half a day. I usually take all of Thursday off. With being out of town, I was going to work half a day, but I had to get the yard mowed. So I was out there mowing the yard and got around to the front of the yard. Ran over into the ground, ran over one of those little ground hornet nests. I'm trucking along there at a pretty good clip, and all of a sudden, you know, I feel something hit the back of my hat, hit the back of my hat, drop down, hit the back of my head, and a ground hornet stung me right smack dab in the back of the head. Happy birthday, brother. Amen. I'm a swatting and a swinging, and I look behind me, and they're a swarming. And you know what? I'm putting it into high gear, and I'm getting out of there. Thank God, of all of those hornets, only one got me. I didn't tell Blaine this yet, but they've got a demon-possessed dog by the name of Coco. And Coco comes over and torments me and torments everything I own and chews up everything I have. And Coco, I got off. You say, Brother Jerry, did you get mad? I don't get mad. I get even. Amen. And as soon as I got away from that, I put that thing into park, turned it off. I went down and got me one of those Burger King super-sized cups out of the back of my truck. Sure, I was always throwing stuff in there. And I took me a gas can, and I filled that thing up with gas. And I thought, brother, this is war. Amen. You talk about war in heaven, we're going to have war on earth right now. And I filled that thing with gas, and I waited until all of them settled down. And Coco followed me up there. And I thought, you know, I'm going to pour this gas in there, and hopefully they're not going to sting me. I let them settle in, and I just chunked that in there. And then I filled it up real quick, stood right there. I'm brave, I tell you. Stood right there. Or stupid, one of the two. And filled that up with gas again and poured another one in there. And then I start backing up, because some of them that weren't in the hole are coming in. And all of a sudden, but thank God, you know, the sacrificial lamb, amen. They went after Coco and left me alone, man. They're stinging that dog, and he's rolling and biting and running and biting, and they chased him all the way back over to your place. I'm like, glory to God. I not only got even with those bees, I paid Coco back. Amen. I mean, that was a good day. Amen. Maybe the Lord then said, happy birthday. Amen. I don't know. But, you know, then I came out here on our work day yesterday, and I was up on the ladder, and we're putting some siding on. And those bees that, you know what, usually if you just leave bees alone, they'll leave you alone. But you know what? This time of year, that's not true. You know, they're just ornery. They're just mean right now. Mornings are getting colder, and you know what? They know that their time is short. They know that their time is short. I ran some trash out yesterday afternoon to the dumpster. I got near that dumpster, opened it, and as soon as I opened it, they swarmed out. You know what? They were not friendly. I threw my trash and ran. You know, I don't know what it is with bees. Why are they so ornery right now? They know their time is short. Now, y'all know this. We're country people, amen? You get around anything that flies and has a stinger on it this time of year between now and the first frost, and you're going to get stung if you're not careful. They're in an ornery mood. You know why? They know they've got a short time. Now, young people, listen to me, and I mean for all of them. I'm talking about married people. Oh, my goodness sakes. There's not a person. You say, Brother Jerry, I'm a senior saint. I've been a Christian for 50 years. And yeah, the devil would like to you in your latter years, your last few years on earth, he'd like you to ruin your testimony and disgrace the name of Jesus Christ. Satan never stops working on us. And right now, he's doing double time, triple time, because he's mad because he knows that his time is short. Now, folks, read the papers. Look around. Have some discernment. Jesus got after the Pharisees and said, man, you can look over there in the west and look at the skies and tell me it's going to rain, but you can't look around and see the signs of the time and know that the end is near? I think we need to get up in front of our congregation and say, folks, let's have some discernment. Just read the papers. Just watch the news. Just look around what's happening. Look at what's going on in the Middle East. Jesus is coming soon. Jesus is coming soon. And the devil knows it. Because of that, he's mad. So folks, listen to me. This isn't the time to let down. This is the time to reinforce our defenses. Be careful. Be careful that you do not bring something into your home that allows the devil to have a foothold in your home. I think some of you are convinced that, you know what, we just preach against rock music because we don't have anything else to preach against. I'll tell you, I can't remember what the name of the first girl. I was looking for Cheryl. She's not here. It must be in the nursery. But they had this music festival down here in Linton. And one of the first groups that they had was Something Sin. Did anybody read that? Something. It was something promoting. The very name of their group was Something Exalting Sin. It had the name Sin in there. I can't remember what the first name of it was. Now, folks, listen, that's not an accident. Oh, that's just for shock effect. No, it's Satan effect. And now you can just sit there and say, oh, I don't know. You can say whatever you want to. I'm going to tell you something. You're opening your home to demonic influences. Yes, you pray every night, oh Lord, build a hedge about my house and protect me. Well, you've opened a side door and let them in.
Yeah, come on now.
I mean, folks, listen, we need to go through our house and take a hard look.
Yes, sir.
There's some books that are that if you're not careful, I mean, they have strong satanic influence in them. And you're just going to bring them in your house and hand them to your kids? Hello? We've got to be aware. We've got to be careful. Because we can open the side door and let the devil in. He's mad and he's going to do his worst if he gets in. I've got to hurry. Let me give you this thought. He is real, Brother Jerry. My goodness, he's a deceiver. What are we going to do? He's mad, I know. Let me give you this thought. Number four, he's beatable. He is beatable. He is beatable. Look at verse number 11. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. Now here the Bible's given us a little formula for beating the devil. And let me just say this, because we're going to start with the blood of the Lamb, so I might as well qualify that statement by saying this. There's not a one of us that can beat the devil, but with the Lord Jesus Christ, there's not a one of us that can't. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And you know what? How do you overcome the devil? Let me just start out and give you these three thoughts real quick, and then we'll move on. First of all, you got to start with the blood of the Lamb. If you have not had your sins washed in the blood of the Lamb, you don't have a chance against the devil. You don't have a chance. That's why I said you need to get saved if you're not saved. The only chance you have to stand up against the devil is if you've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. That's the only chance you have. If you're not saved, you are a target for the devil. You are a candidate for demon possession. I'm not kidding here. I'm telling you the truth. The demonic influence can be powerful in your life because there's nothing to withhold it. There's nothing to stop it. There's nothing to hold it back. But when you get somebody that gets the Holy Spirit inside of them, they get saved and a third part of the triune God comes and resides in them. You know, a Christian, I've heard people write different. They're wrong. A Christian cannot be demon possessed. Sometimes we can be demon oppressed, but we cannot be demon possessed. You can't be demon possessed. And so you need the blood of the Lamb. But let me say this, folks, just because you're saved and you can't be possessed by the devil doesn't mean that you can't be influenced and oppressed by the devil. And you know what? The answer's the same. You need to plead the blood of Jesus Christ. Now listen, I'm not a charismatic, I'm not spooky, I'm talking about Bible here. You know, there's times, I mentioned this a while back, I can't remember who I was talking to, maybe it was Brother Reiser, but about 2 months ago, there's times when I sense, and I think men, as the leader of your home, you ought to know the state of your flock, you ought to understand what's going on, and there's times when I can sense that the Satan is targeting my family for a certain amount of time. There's just almost this oppression. And I've woken up in the middle of the night. Have you ever had a dream that could have not come from anywhere else but the devil? And you know, again, I've found a very quick way of making him exit stage left. Amen? And that's plead the blood of Jesus Christ. You start pleading the blood of Jesus Christ and the devil can't stay. Oh, brother, I tell you, Satan, I just can't overcome this. And I just can't. Yes, you can. Don't you tell me that he's not beatable. He is beatable. He is beatable. Well, I just can't win this battle. Yes, you can if you use the right tools. And we're given the formula here. The blood of Jesus Christ. That's why when you go into a church, you ought to flip through the songbook and see if there's still songs about the blood in there. There's not, go find a church where they've got songs about the blood of Jesus Christ. You ought to sit in a church and listen. If the preacher goes 6 months and never says anything about the blood of Jesus, you better go find a different church. It's the blood of Jesus Christ, that shed blood on Calvary, that gives us the power to live the Christian life. I can't do it. I'm telling you right now, I'm no match for the devil. I can't stand against his forces. But since I've been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, and as I claim the blood of Jesus Christ, I can experience victory in my life. That's something that scares the devil to death. I started to say it scares the devil out of the devil. Amen. But the blood of Jesus does. Let me give you something else here. You can not only overcome him by the word of the Lamb, but by the word of their testimony. And let me just share this with you, folks. There's nothing more powerful in your life as far as you doing something than sharing your salvation testimony with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why I think soul winners, people that regularly, consistently go soul winning and on a regular basis share their testimony. And I think this is twofold. When it's talking about the testimony of the Word, it's talking about, yes, this testimony of the Word, but it's also talking about your testimony along with the testimony of the Word. I'm talking about this is how I was saved. I'm talking about Jesus, sharing the gospel. That again, scares the devil out of the devil. He doesn't know what to do with a bold Christian. It's hard to defeat a Christian that just wants to talk about the Lord and share his testimony all the time. And if you get involved in that and do that on a regular basis, let me tell you something, you can gain victory over Satan. He does not have to win. He's beatable. Yes, quickly, let me give you the last one. And I hope you understand this. The Bible says, and they love not their lives unto death. How is he beatable, Brother Jerry? By the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony. Let me give you this third thought, by a martyr's mentality. I'm afraid we've lost in Christianity today a martyr's mentality. What does that mean? That means, you know what? No matter what happens, I'm living for Christ. No matter what I have to face, I'm living for Christ. No matter how hard the battle, I'm living for Christ. No matter, watch this, if I have to die, I'm living for Christ. If I have to be ridiculed, I'm living for Christ. If I'm going to, listen, the devil can't stop that kind of thing. You show me a man or a woman that just settles this thing in their heart, says, I'm going to plead the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm going to tote around the word of his testimony and share my testimony of how it changed my life. And you know what? I'm going to keep going and I'm not going to stop. But even if it costs me my life, I'm going to go forward for Jesus Christ. Where's that level of dedication anymore? It takes so little to stop us in our Christian life. Man alive, why don't we just go all the way for God? Why don't we sell out for Jesus Christ? Say, well, you know, and the worst thing the devil can do is kill you. You know, that's why Jesus said, listen, don't fear him that can destroy the body. You better fear the one that can destroy the soul. Well, by saying that, he's telling us that, you know what, sometimes he's allowed to destroy the body. So what? He can't touch your soul. He can't touch your soul. Man, we need a tenacious attitude in this matter of living for God. Say, what's going to stop you? Death's going to stop me. I'm going to live for God till I take the last breath and breathe the last breath. And then you know what? I'll go on to my reward and go in to meet my maker. But till then, I'm going to stand firm for Jesus Christ. Heaven help us. Hot one day, cold the next. Up one day, down the next. Join one day, quit the next. Give me a break. That is not going to win a world to Jesus Christ. And the devil, you know what? He's tied you on a little string and wrapped it around you, and he's yo-yoing you. You're just like his little yo-yo. And he gets you up, and he gets you down, he gets you up, and he gets you down. Get off that. Amen. Get off that. Just decide, you know what? I'm selling completely out. Hey, stop deciding week by week whether or not you're going to come back, Bless Hope Baptist Church.
Yes, sir.
Why don't you just settle it today that I'm just going to be here long term? Stop deciding, you know, let's see how this Christian life goes this year. Then we'll see whether we serve God next year. Give me a break. You don't sign up like in the military every 4 years. Why don't you just sign up for life?
Yes,
Why don't you just give your whole life? Let's say, Lord, you know what? Like Job, you know what? The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. If I have good days, pray God. If I have bad days, praise God. If I have a good day, I'm going to serve God. If I have a bad day, I'm going to serve God. You know what? If I have a good stretch, I'm just going to thank Him for it. If I have what seems like a bad stretch, I'm going to understand that He's doing something that I can't understand. I'm just going to stay in there. Now, I'm promising you, there's men. I'm looking at people all over this auditorium that I grew up watching as adults. And you know what? They're still here. I mean, I was a kid. I was a kid in this church. And some of the saints of God are still in these pews. Were faithful then and they're faithful now. And you can remember people in your life that's like that too. And they mean something to you, don't they? And you know how they did it? Through the blood of the Lamb. You know how they did it? Through the word of His testimony. You know how they did it? With a martyr's mentality. Okay, devil, you want to stop us? Okay, you're going to have to kill us. Because anything short of that, we're not stopping. So get on that. Get some of that. Man, whatever that is, get a good dose of it. Just sell out for God. Let me tell you one more thing about the devil. He's doomed. He's real. He's a deceiver. He's mad, but he's beatable, and he's doomed. Revelation chapter 20. Let's read the end of the story. The end of the story. Revelation chapter 20 and verse number 10. And the devil, Revelation 20:10, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And you know what? He sure has been allowed a lot of free reign and influence right now. And he sure wrecked a lot of lives. But one of these days, strong angels are going to bind him with strong chains, and they're going to cast him forever into the lake of fire, and they're going to shut the lid on that thing, and you know what? It's never going to be opened again. Now let me ask you something. Are you on the winning side? Are you on the winning side? You know, folks that spend their life serving Satan are serving an eventual loser and will lose along with him. That's why the wisest decision is just to say, you know what, it doesn't matter as we look around this earth whether it looks like the devil's winning or losing. We know the end of the story. He's going to lose one of these days. If I live for him and serve him, I'll lose along with him. But if I give my life to Jesus Christ, decide that I'm going to serve the King of Kings, one of these days I'll reign with him. Now, where would you like to spend eternity, folks? Reigning and ruling with our Savior, or suffering the damnation of eternal hell with the one that's called the devil, the deceiver? Which one do you want as your resting place, your final destination for all eternity? I'm not a rocket scientist, but it seems like to me the smart thing to do is just receive Christ as your Savior, sell out, serve Him with all your soul and all your heart as best you can, and rule and reign with Him forever one of these days. Amen. Five things you need to know about the devil. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you would remind us, Lord, encourage us, strengthen us. Lord, we certainly are no match for him. I understand, Lord, that Lucifer, that old saint, that old serpent, the devil, about the time we get to thinking that we can handle him on our own, we get ourselves in a lot of trouble. We will become a casualty. But Lord, thank you for your presence. Thank you for your shed blood. Thank you for the word of your testimony. Thank you for, Lord, the old gospel. Thank you for our salvation testimony. I do thank you, Lord, for the power to live each and every day. Lord, give us that old martyr's mentality. Help us to just sell out, go all out. Decide, you know what, to the my dying day, to the end of my life, I'm going to serve Jesus Christ. I'm not testing it out. I'm not sticking my toe in the water anymore. I'm just going to dive in. I'm going to go all the way for Jesus. Our heads are bowed. Our eyes are closed. I want to ask you this. During the course of the message, perhaps the dear Holy Spirit of God came alongside you and he began to deal with your heart. Jesus said, no man can come to me unless the Father draw him. You know, if you are feeling that wooing of God, that drawing of God, you know that you're not saved. And God is speaking to your heart about that. Right now, he's convicting you and he's telling you, you know what? You need to receive Christ as your Savior. You need to give your life over to Jesus Christ. If not, the devil's going to wreak havoc with your life. By the way, how's it going so far? Oh, but it's going to get better. That's a lie. The deceiver told you that. How's it going so far? How's serving him been? How you doing? How you doing? Amen. We all know the answer to that one. Are you thinking back in your life before you met Christ? We know the answer to that one, don't we? Why don't you get on the winning side? Brother Jerry, if I died right now, I'm not sure what would happen. I don't think I'm saved. I'm fearful that I'd be in the same place the devil's heading. But I'm concerned about it. Brother Jerry, would you pray for me? By the way, I won't call your name. I won't come to you. I won't in any way embarrass you. But I will pray for you. Brother Jerry, I'm not saved, but God's speaking to my heart right now that I need to get saved. Would you raise your hand so I can know to pray for you? I see your hand. God bless you. Somebody else? Brother Jerry, I'm not saved, but you know what? Lord's speaking to my heart, and I need to get that settled. Anyone else? Christian, how's it going? How's it going? Has the Holy Spirit, that sweet Holy Spirit, come alongside you and said to you during this message, you know what? You can win. You can win. You don't have to keep losing. You can win. Maybe the Lord's reminded you of some things in your life that you've allowed to creep into your life that's given Satan an inroad into your life. You've got to get rid of that stuff. There's no easy way about it. You just got to get rid of that stuff. You go home and clean house. Get some things out of your home that's letting the devil sneak in a side door. Brother Jerry, Satan's been giving me a tough time. You talked about satanic oppression. I feel like of late Satan's just been attacking in an unusual way. He's just kind of wreaking havoc in my life, and I needed to hear that this morning. I needed to hear that. Would you raise your hand, Brother Jerry? I need a victory over the devil and what he's trying to do in my life. I need that victory. God bless you. Heavenly Father, thank you that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Lord, we would be in so much trouble. We would be doomed if it were not for Jesus Christ. Thank you for coming on Calvary's cross and defeating Satan, raising again from the third day and defeating death. And you sit now at the right hand of the Father making intercessions for us. You send your Holy Spirit to give us strength and power. Thank you, Lord, or we would be in a bunch of trouble. I want to pray for these dear saints of God, these saved folk that are in here. And Lord, right now they're just going through a time in their life where the devil's targeted them in an extra hard way. Lord, they need your help. I pray for them, God. Help them to get to the book. Help them to claim the blood. Help them to develop that martyr's mentality and just stand firm, Lord, so that they can get through this. Lord, I pray that you'd fight for them. Please help them. Lord, I pray for this dear lady that raised her hand. She's not sure that she's saved. We want her to be saved, Lord. I pray that you speak to her heart even now, Lord, and help her to respond to her in the invitation.